Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance with extra benefits like personal accident cover.
Well, we all know cooking from scratch is better for us, but pressed for time and inspiration, most of us turn to the same meals time and again. But in her new book, How to Cook the 100 Essential Recipes Everyone Should Know, Dorina Allen shows us how simple it is to rustle up a delicious and nutritious meal using just 25 staple ingredients. And Dorina joins me now. Morning, Dorina.
Good morning, Miriam.
Yeah, this is a good book for people like me. And I gather the working title for it was 100 Recipes No One Should Leave School Without. I mean, this book, it really sees you going back to basics because you, I think, feel a lot of people lack the basic skill to feed themselves properly.
Well, absolutely do, really, because in a way now we've let two generations out of our homes and out of our schools without giving them the basic skills to feed themselves properly. And I mean, I think really going back right to the 1950s, 1960s, the main emphasis in education has been, the emphasis has been on academic skills. It's been, you know, the STEM subjects, and why would you want to learn how to cook or to grow or anything like that? You're never going to need that. You know, you're going to just go along to the supermarket. There's, you know, acres and acres of wonderful things to choose from. And people just don't have time. So, but what we've failed in many ways, I really think that we've failed in our duty of care to the next generation by not giving them these basic techniques so they can feed themselves properly at the very least. And we can see the result of it actually now. So this book, actually, it was originally my working title for, and it's a sort of COVID project. My working title was Recipes No Kid Should Leave School Without. But apparently, did you know, Miriam, that kids is not PC, so my publishers didn't want me to use that. So, but anyway, I feel so strongly about the importance of this and really hope that before I hang up my apron completely that I'll see cooking re-embedded in the national curriculum.
It's almost like you say, a call to arms.
I call to arms every mammy and granny and granddad and everything. And you know, every time I talk about this, as I talk or anything, there's a resounding response to it because everybody knows how important it is. And I've got on to the poor Minister for Education, needless to say, she's been so, with COVID and all of that, has so many challenges. So I'm going to I get back on again now and ask how can we get cooking embedded in the national curriculum, basically so that it's a core subject and looked on as a core subject, and yet that one skill where so many people, I mean, feel, you know, people who could run the country actually sometimes think, oh my God, I can't cook. And oftentimes people say to me, I hate cooking. Now, they never say I hate cooking. They say, I hate cooking. And it's really, in a way, it's because they just think it's a mystery. We haven't taken the mystery out of how easy it is to cook. So anyway, this book is a book I've wanted to write for years and years. And a friend of mine the other day, it was the biggest compliment when she saw it and I just had a couple of advanced copies, said to me, I'm going to buy 6 copies for all my friends who haven't had time to learn how to cook. And most of these are highly achieving people in really good jobs, and some of them can scarcely make toast. And actually, I had a really other interesting, very interesting thing happen during COVID. You know, when there was the first lockdown and suddenly people were not allowed out of their houses practically, this lovely girl in Dublin, actually, here, rang, and her life was, as I said, now this is a huge, highly achieving woman, her husband also CEO of a top company, 2 kids, and their life was basically they would, you know, get the kids up in the morning, get them dressed or even, and Becky or whatever, maybe something, yeah, and then drop them into the crèche, pick them up at 6 or 7 in the evening in their jammies, ready to go to bed. The weekends they ate out because we have so many options in Dublin, and suddenly faced with doing 21 meals, she was in tears at the phone, on the end of the phone, saying, what can I do? And I just had to try and talk her through getting the fear out of it and saying a few little simple things you can start. You know, if you can make a little omelette, or maybe even if you can do potato wedges, you know, get them into the oven. Potatoes, the other great thing about being able to cook, of course, is that you can take very inexpensive ingredients like potatoes, something, and make all kinds of delicious things with them, even in one tray or one pot. But you know, I just said to her, just start, cut up some scrub some potatoes. Some people can scarcely shop, by the way. This is what are we like that this is we've allowed this to happen to people to get so de-skilled. Chop them up, toss them in a bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, put them into the oven and just, you know, roast them at a high heat. They'd be out in 10 or 15 minutes. Then grate lots of cheese over them, back in again. And there you've got these lovely cheesy potatoes.
Sounds gorgeous
and
already.
They're delicious. Mm. The kids will love, you love. You can, and then you can add all kinds of other things like smoked paprika to it. You can add a bit in a bit of a chorizo or something like that, or sausage. And then you can have a whole meal in a tray, starting off with. But you can only do that if you're not frightened to death of it.
And actually, you mentioned the pandemic there and lockdowns. I mean, did it help somewhat, though, insofar as we were all stuck at home and maybe we all had a bit more time to think about
what
we were cooking?
Well, it did. There's no question that people did, you know, cook and actually discovered the joy of cooking in many ways, sometimes the frustration. But I hope that many people discovered that it's not as difficult as they think it is. And the other fantastic thing that happened during the pandemic was people started to grow some of their own food, even on windowsills and all kinds of things. Have you started to grow anything yet, Miriam?
No.
Well, now.
Sorry.
Okay, you're doing the interviewing, right? Good.
I will. But like you say, and I'm guilty of this, that most of us tend to serve the same meals again and again. Do you think, though, that's because people, we've busy lives and don't have time to think creatively about what we're serving, or that it's just easy to rustle up the reliables. I know my children will eat.
Absolutely. It's totally understandable. And it's all very fine, but I just am in awe of all you young people nowadays who are trying to keep all the balls in the air. Both the partners working, dashing home, dashing into the supermarket to get a few things to put a meal on the table, knowing how important the family meal is and, you know, and the nourishment. We all know that, but where to get the food? And now we've become so de-skilled, many of us, partly because of our educational system. I keep going back to this, basically, that we, you know, if you can't cook, you're handing over the responsibility to somebody else to feed you. When people are so busy, you know, you grab something, you bring it home, you pop it into the oven, and
you
it's
know
understandable.
It works.
Yeah. It works. But the problem is that a lot of the very ultra-processed food, we know now, we all know that that's not doing us any good. It's not nourishing us the way it should either. And they now reckon that a lot of the foods we're eating now have, we're lucky if they have 50% of the nutrients they had in them in the 1950s. The vitamins, the minerals, the trace elements. So our food should be our medicine. I mean, I sound so funny, but, you know, you only have to go into a supermarket now and you see acres of supplements, you know, vitamins, minerals, all the other things. So we shouldn't need any of
those. We should get them from our food. You know, I'm conscious, though, when you're talking, when I'm in a supermarket, which is every other day, and you do look at things like broccoli or asparagus. I mean, they are expensive. I'm just thinking, if you are
a mother
working to a small budget, you're probably going to go for the cheaper stuff.
But the cheaper stuff is fine if it's nourishing. So potatoes are fine. But Miriam, it doesn't have to be expensive food. You mentioned asparagus and broccoli there. But a cabbage, an ordinary cabbage, is full of goodness.
What if you don't like cabbage?
Oh, darling, I'll cook it for you so you love it. Even Brussels sprouts I can make. You know, there's so many. This is the thing. If you start off with a little basic technique, how to cook a cabbage. You can add all sorts of things. You can add spices to it. You can roast it in cut the cabbage in quarters and you can roast it and it's delicious. Carrots you can roast. You know, all of these cauliflower, you know, the poor humble cauliflower that had such a bad rap. You can cut that in big thick steaks and you can fry them or grill them on the pan and then put all kinds of spices on them. Mm. And this is, it sounds fancy, but it's not fancy. It's only having a few basic skills and then adding to them. Now and hey presto, you can cook. You can cook.
You say, Doreena, there are just 25 staple ingredients we should have in our fridge or cupboard from which we can create,
anything.
You say, 100 essential recipes.
Yeah.
And these are pretty basic store cupboard ingredients, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Good. You have the list in front of you there now, Miriam.
Flour, baking powder, oatmeal, pasta, noodles, grains, rice. I won't go on.
Yes, and some butter and some extra virgin olive oil. Good thing, good salt and pepper. Yes, and then even if you come home, you haven't had time time to go into the supermarket. You can look in your store cupboard and you can make something quickly. This is, again, I keep on repeating, it's so great if you can learn how to cook, because you can whiz up a spontaneous pasta or something and, you know, in a couple of minutes, add a few things to it.
Now, I noticed many of your recipes in your new book include fresh herbs. Not everyone has access to fresh herbs. What would be your top six herbs?
Well, you know, honestly, it adds herb. Fresh herbs add magic to your cooking. Yeah. And I don't care if you live in a high-rise flat, you can grow a few little simple things on your windowsill or whatever, if you can. And, you know, if you grow them, if you actually have a couple of buckets or a window box or something and plant a few things and just snip
like
one
what
or two.
Would you plant?
Oh, I would definitely have, I know it's very simple, but I'd definitely have parsley, I would have chives, and I'd have thyme if it's possible, I'd have mint. So I would definitely, it adds magic. And then rosemary, you have to plant rosemary. And you plant rosemary for remembrance, basically. So you plant it, it could be in memory of somebody or it could be in memory of something. And it only thrives in the house where the woman wears the pants. So you'll know if it's not thriving that actually you need self-assertion classes.
Is this true?
True, totally true. Mine's very, very puny.
Now, looking at some of your essential recipes, you begin with a classic French omelette. I love omelettes. It literally, you say, takes seconds to make, doesn't it?
Yeah, 30
seconds.
And it's
a good one. I'm thinking for students heading to college.
Yeah. Oh, great. I mean, an omelette is... it's a really versatile thing. It takes 30 seconds to make an omelette, 45 seconds if you're putting a filling in it. And, you know, you have a really nutritious supper. Now, two eggs is enough for you or me, maybe. But one of these big hungry lads might have wanted a three-egg omelette or something. But three-egg omelette is so nourishing and filling.
Well, what do you put butter? What do you put on your pan?
Oh, your pan. Now,
and what kind of a pan?
Now, this is important, Miriam, actually. Now, you need you want a 10-inch pan. Okay, if you have it, that it's not too flat. Otherwise, you have a thin, skimpy thing. Good heavy pan if you can, and one that's either metal or non-stick. Now, you can either use, butter is traditionally used for an omelette, but as you know, if the pan is hot enough and it needs to be super hot, then it'll burn butter. So what we do is we do make what are called clarified butter, where you melt butter ahead of time, sometimes nothing, and maybe a half pound of butter or whatever. And then when it melts, the salty bit comes to the top and the milky bit at the bottom, and the salty particles are what burn at the lower temperature. Then you have this clear butter.
In the middle
In the middle. Okay. That can, and you can keep it in your fridge for weeks on end, and just take out a scoop of it, melt on the pan, and then you can cook it at a much higher temperature. Now, look, if you can't be doing with all of that, basically olive oil, okay, really good olive oil, put it on the pan, get really, really hot, and whisk up the eggs really well, and salt and pepper, and then straight onto the pan, and it'll sizzle all around the edge immediately, and then draw it in from the corners, and then have your filling, whatever it is, right beside you, hot, spoon it across the middle, and then flip it over and roll it down to the bottom of the pan. Out onto
you
the
make
plate.
It sound so
but
easy,
it is,
Doreena.
It's as quick
Mine doesn't
as that.
Work like that.
Well, I'll give you a little. I'd be delighted to do. I'm not joking, 30 to 45 seconds.
Okay, now who doesn't love a roast chicken? But I suppose people have concerns whether it's cooked through or not. You've good advice on this.
You know, if I was to pick just 20 basic recipes, roast chicken is definitely one of them, because
it's gorgeous.
Everybody loves roast chicken with lots of roasties and so on. So buy a decent chicken. That's the first thing. You can do so many different things with it. But if you slather some butter over the breast and the legs before you put it in, maybe stick a few little herbs into the cavity, thyme or rosemary or something like that. Sometimes people like to put a lemon in it. Salt and pepper into the oven, moderate oven. Depending on the size of the chicken, it'll take 1.5, 1.75 hours. Now, what to look out for then? So basically, I don't even bother to, if you have the butter, I don't bother to baste it. You don't really have to go look at it until it's almost finished. So the place it cooks, the last place it cooks is between the leg and the breast. So if you're in doubt, you could wiggle the leg, should feel sort of loose really when it's cooked. But apart from that, then you could cut down between the leg and the breast, and the juices, collected juices there, they should run clear. If there's any little pink or brown in it, it's not cooked properly.
Another essential, you say, is a simple soup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, thanks to my mother-in-law, Myrtle Ann, we have a lot of our soups that we make at Bamaloo are made on a formula. And look, you can take a mug or a glass or whatever you have in your kitchen, and you do 1 cup of chopped onion, 1 cup of chopped potato, 3 cups of any vegetable of your choice, and 5 cups of stock. Or it could even be water, but obviously water doesn't have the flavour of stock. And that could be vegetable stock, or it could be a chicken stock. And then salt and pepper. Now, that could be a carrot soup with one cup of onion, one cup of potatoes, 3 cups of carrots and the stock, or it could be carrot and cumin, carrot and orange, it could be carrot and coriander. Mm-hmm. You could add things over the top of it. If you want to, or it could be pea bean courgette, or it could be radish leaves. You know, you can use all a mixture of things. Cabbage soup is delicious, really delicious. And you can put lovely spices and olive oil over the top of it and make it all chefy like
homemade chips.
Oh, yeah.
How do you do them properly?
No, well, good potatoes. Start with good potatoes again. And you don't even have to peel them. Sometimes you can. Or if you
How
do
you know
peel
what's
them,
a good potato?
Oh, goodness me. Oh, my. Yeah, now. Yeah, you stumped me.
I look at potatoes and I go, I don't know what one to buy.
Oh, well, I can. That's a really good question, actually. So I love at this time of the year, we're going into the main crop potatoes now. So Golden Wonders, Kerr's Pinks. Okay. Look at the variety. And when you bring them home, note how they taste so that you can find the same one when you get a good one again. The question
homemade
chips. So then scrub them, chop them up into chips.
Peel them or not?
You could peel them if you wanted to, or you might now. Because you can leave the peels on and still cook them. Now you want decent oil. This is the main thing. If you go to Spain or Italy or something, you have chips and you think, oh my God, they're so good. Yeah. How do they make them? Because they cook them in olive oil.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so chop
now
them up.
We're not talking extra virgin olive oil. You're talking ordinary olive oil. So you just good and hot and add them in. Now, the bigger they are, the longer they take to cook, obviously. So you might put them in at a lower temperature, maybe 160, 170.
Into the boiling oil, though.
Into the boiling oil, okay. Yeah. Into the very hot oil. Put them in and you cook them then for whatever it is, 2-4 minutes maybe. Take them out. You can do that ahead of time if you want to, actually.
Okay.
That's what's called blanching them. And then you whack up the temperature to the highest temperature, put them back in again. Now, not too many in the basket together, okay? Not too many. It shouldn't be full to the top or something so that, you know, can cook them easily. Give it a shake and then they get lovely and crispy and gorgeous on the outside. And then sprinkle them with a little flaky sea salt or something. Now, but I must go back to if you peel the potatoes, don't throw out the peels. If the peels are, if your potatoes are good, just dry them and do potato peel crisps. We do them all the time. So you've no waste and they're like super delicious. Kids love them too.
I think myself and lots of people are going to go home and try all these recipes today.
Well, I'm on the end of the
Sunday
phone.
Lunch.
I'm on the end of the phone if you need me.
Well, Doreen Allen, no one has an excuse now. Thanks so much for coming into us. And your book, How to Cook, The 100 Essential Recipes Everyone Should Know, is published by Kyle Books. Thanks so much for coming in, Doreen.
Oh, thank you, Miriam. It's been lovely chatting to you.
My pleasure.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.